views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hit show Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you struggling with loss? Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Beyond Proof Radio is a space that explores beyond current self-limiting beliefs surrounding loss, offering radical healing, which will come from the least likely of places. Join Angie on her journey, which includes science, medicine, and spirituality, proving that the body is merely a shell of our soul. It's possible to create an amazing life from the depths of pain. It's your life. It's your choice. Now, here's your host.
Welcome, welcome, my beautiful listeners, to another program. I am your host, Angie Corbett-Kuiper. Today, I've got a beautiful guest. I am so excited to bring him on. His name is Stephen Holly Martin. And it's so funny because I was Stephen Martin, Steve Martin. I'm sure he gets that a lot. He is the author of several books, but the one that we're going to talk about today is The Afterlife, The Whole Truth, Life and Death, Books 1 and 2. And we're going to focus on Book 1 today. And to look at this man scream, skeptic, skeptic, skeptic. And this is the reason I absolutely love the research that Stephen has done. As we delve into consciousness, as we delve into those taboo subjects that he has done such amazing research and investigation into what happens after we die. What happens? Consciousness? Is it matter? Does the brain create consciousness? Stephen Holly Martin is a professional writer, a ghostwriter, the winner of a number of national awards for his work, the editor and publisher of the Oaklea Press. And he just released a new book on July 23rd called Awaken the Winner Within, Lucky You. And so, like I had said, this show will be focused on Life After Death, Book 1, The Whole Truth, Powerful Evidence You Will Never Die. And then on August 21st, he has absolutely been wonderful, as we will delve into Book 2, Heaven, Hell, and You, as we will also go into his new book, Awaken, The Winner Within, Lucky You. With that, welcome Stephen Holly Martin.
Well, thank you very much, Angie. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Wow. As I follow the breadcrumbs, which I think you even say in your book, that exact word, when we follow the breadcrumbs, we find our truths.
That's right. Absolutely.
So talk to me a bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Stephen, and how you became interested in this whole subject of consciousness and that we are all eternal.
Well, you know what, Angie, I was brought up by, I guess you would call them secular humanists. They subscribe to the scientific idea that matter is everything, and if you can't see it under a microscope or touch or feel it or smell it, it doesn't exist. And so I was pretty much an agnostic, maybe even an atheist when I was a young person. But along about age, 25 or 26, I had a very strange experience. I was very sick, and I had what I guess was just a very quick near-death experience where I left my body and I was looking at myself from the ceiling, from up above, looking at my body. And that sort of was a shock. You know, how can you see your own body and be out of your body if your brain creates your consciousness, and when your brain's not working, you don't have consciousness. So that it was a quick one. I didn't go down the tunnel. I didn't have an past life review, any of those things, but I did it did start me looking around to see what I could find out about that. And back, this was quite a while ago. I'm almost 50 years ago. And then I came upon a book called Life After Life by Raymond Moody. And I started reading that. And you may know about Raymond Moody. He was, at the time he wrote that book, I think he investigated something like 150 near-death experiences, and he wrote them up. And it was really the first book about that. And I read it cover to cover in one sitting. It was so, I was so fascinated by it. And that really, combined with the near-death experience, started me on my journey. And I started reading anything I could get my hands on about metaphysics. I joined the Rosicrucian Society, which is a kind of mystical society that teaches the what the ancients knew and we've lost sight of, and that is that we all come and go into this physical reality one time after another, you know, and we've been doing that for a long time. So that's how I got started.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And beautiful. And yes, I absolutely love Raymond Moody. I like to call him a friend. He was also the first person that I reached out to when I lost significantly. And he is just an amazing speaker. He is still going strong. And just visited with him in the Bahamas a couple years ago. So if any of you decide you want to go listen to him in a very private audience, it's amazing. But Stephen, let's start by defining consciousness. I think this is where we need to go. What is your definition of consciousness?
Well, consciousness is this sense of, you know, who I am. You know, who was it that said that? I think, therefore, I am. Descartes or somebody like that. And it's this sense of your perceiving the world. And one of the great things about humans and where we are is that we have the ability to step outside of ourselves and think about ourselves and about our world and about, you know, how did we get here and where are we going and sort of thing. That to me is what consciousness is. It's that sense of self that we all have, and it seems to be located behind our eyes and our head, but really that is an illusion. Because one of the things that I've learned, and this has been released by the University of Virginia School of Medicine, that they don't think that consciousness is created by your brain. They think that the brain really is a receiver of consciousness, that your consciousness is located somewhere else, and that it seems like it's in your head because your brain is the receiver, just like your cell phone is a receiver for a call, and the call seems to be in the phone, but it's not. It's way across the country or across the world. So that, to me, that's what consciousness is.
And that's right on target with Merriam-Webster Dictionary's definition of consciousness, which is the quality or state of being aware, especially of something within oneself. So beautifully said. And I like to think of it, Stephen, as the one word that actually can bridge spirituality and science, where religion teaches a God and science teaches its matter created by the brain. And it was interesting as I was researching to have you on the program. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but in Science News, which is a magazine of the Society for Science and the Public, this is so interesting. With all the research that has been done and books that have been written, March 16th, 2019, it's only a few months ago. I find this so, you're going to laugh. Consciousness, and this was a study that was done. They were looking at analyzing brain activity of healthy people and people who are not aware of their surroundings. And this is what they still come up with. Consciousness and how the brain creates it is a squishy concept. It slips away when we sleep and can be distorted by drugs or lost in accidents, though scientists have proposed many biological explanations for how our brains create consciousness. A full definition still eludes scientists. When do you think we're going to all get it?
Well, The problem is that science, as it is taught in the schools and practiced today, one of the tenets, and it really has become a religion. Science is a religion for scientists. And part, one of the tenets of their religion, part of the dogma, is material stuff. There is nothing, like I said about my parents, that you can't, if you can't see it under a microscope or measure it some way or other, it doesn't exist. And that is where they're coming from. And as long as they stay in that box, they're never going to figure out what consciousness is, because consciousness isn't in that box. Consciousness is in another dimension than the physical dimension. And the only way we human beings get into this physical dimension is for our consciousness to inhabit a fetus and come through the mother's womb.
And love it. Okay, Stephen, end right there. You guys, we are going on break. What a great place to end. Stephen, okay. When we come back, talk about the inhibition. We'll go in just inhabiting the fetus. I love that. When we come back, thank you guys for joining Stephen Holly Martin and myself. And when we come back.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all parties and all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Choose the New Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, with the beautiful guest, my beautiful guest, Stephen Holly Martin, as we are discussing consciousness, his book, Afterlife, The Whole Truth. We are delving into book one, which is Powerful Evidence You Will Never Die. And we're going to be getting into a lot more as it revolves around NDEs or near-death experiences, past lives, reincarnation. But before our break, Stephen, we had talked about how you were born into a more material scientist kind of view that what you cannot see does not exist. However, you are starting to tell us about consciousness, maybe getting into a little bit of reincarnation. But can you go over that when we are born into our mother's or as a fetus born into our mother?
Yes, well, there are a number of different dimensions, different realities. I don't know how many, but there's certainly more than just this one, which is a physical place, a physical reality. And the only way we can get into this reality, come to this reality, and take part in it, and touch and feel and be a member of it, really, is through our mother's womb. As our consciousness inhabits the fetus and, you know, we're born into this reality. Now, one of the reasons I think that and know that is because the research that's been done on reincarnation there are a number of children. In fact, I think the University of Virginia has 2,500 cases in their files of children who remember a past life. And that usually happens when they're very young, you know, starting around 18 months, when they first really are starting to talk. And it lasts often up until they're 5 or 6 years old, where they will recall a past life. And some of those that recall a past life remember choosing their parents. In one particular case, there was a child born, I think, about 1999 or 2000, who his name, there was a book written about him. His name is James Leninger, and he recalled being a man named James Houston that was shot down, who was a fighter pilot in World War II and shot down at Iwo Jima in that battle. And he had all kinds of memories about that life that were, that the researchers were able to verify and say, yeah, that's, he remembered the name of his, the aircraft carrier that he flew off of. He remembered the name of many of his shipmates and fellow pilots. And he actually, when he was 7 or 8 years old, met some of them at a reunion of that people that were on that ship. But one of the things he said, among the many, many things, was that he picked his parents. When they were staying at the Pink Hotel on the beach in Hawaii, and he picked them because he thought they would be good parents. Now, he was conceived in a Pink Hotel in Hawaii by those parents when they were on a trip to Hawaii, because they lived in Louisiana. So how about that?
Oh, see, I love that. And we will delve more into the spiritual aspect of reincarnation, Stephen, on the next program, our part two, which is part two of your book two. Right. I love that, because I'm just going to sway a little bit off, you know, into this little world over here. But this, to me, will eliminate the need almost to blame a God or an unloving or a judgmental God when we are born with deformities, or when we are born with mental illness. When we realize, and research is pointing in that direction, that we are asking to come back to learn the lessons from a previous life. Thoughts on that?
Well, that is absolutely true. I mean, the more I read about this, and the more that I talk to people who have had these experiences, the more I realize that really what the earth is, what life is all about, it's a learning experience. We come here to learn, and we come here to learn certain lessons. And if we're born with a deformity or with some into a family that has a particular bent, it's because we decided that was what we needed this particular time around. And some people remember that, and that's the case, but most people don't. The ones who do remember their past life tend to have not lived a full life in the previous existence, like that fighter pilot who was 21 years old or something like that when he was shot down at Iwo Jima. When he came back, he remembered. Others, many have, most of them, I would say, I think it's something like 70% of the cases of children remembering past lives that have been studied by the University of Virginia, something like 70% of them died an unnatural death. Some were murdered. Some were in automobile accidents, some, you know, all different kinds of ways, but they didn't finish what they were here to do. So I suspect that maybe they didn't pass through heaven yep. on the way and get, you know, spend some time there and absorb everything they learned or whatever. But they came back very quickly because they had left before they were really ready to leave.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And all my listeners who are listening to me, when we delve into this in a couple of weeks, and if you want to go grab Stephen's book, Afterlife, the whole truth, Life After Death, books 1 and 2, on page 96, he does a great job and has the subtitle is Rebirth Does Not Conflict with Jesus's Teachings. And that's all I'm going to say on that until a couple of weeks. And then we'll really delve into this. What I'd like to talk to you a little bit more now, Stephen, is getting into mediums, and they've gotten bad raps in the past. And you introduce in chapter 4 titled Proof of Accurate Information About the Dead. And what you say, let me find it here. One scientist has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt it's possible for bona fide mediums to relate accurate and specific information about deceased individuals to living loved ones under blinded conditions without the use of fraud, visual or verbal cues, or any other possible deceit or deception. Talk to us about Julie Bichel. Please.
Yeah, Julie Bichel is
thank you.
Yeah, Julie Bichel is a PhD from the University of Arizona, and she studied pharmacology. And of course, when you're a pharmacologist, one of the things you do is a lot of testing of your drugs to see whether they work. And you have placebos, and you have the real thing, and so forth, so that you can see whether the drug works. And you have to, of course, have those kinds of tests be totally blind so that there's no thing that's put in somebody's mind about whether it works or doesn't work, whether it's the real thing or not the real thing. You got to know, everybody's got to think they're getting the real thing. Well, she lost her mother in a her mother committed suicide. Very sad. I interviewed her twice, by the way, once in person and once over the phone. And she didn't know anything. She's not brought up in a religious family and didn't know anything about the afterlife. So she started looking around to see what she could find out, you know, taking the scientific approach. Well, she found out that it wasn't a whole lot of information in the science community about that. So she decided to do her own research. And she has set up these double-blind experiments with psychics where it's impossible for them to get information any other way than through their mind or through their psychic abilities. And she is able to demonstrate that the correctness, the hit rate for accuracy is much higher than would ever be done by chance. It's and she's got a website, I think it's called Winbridge.org, maybe it's in the book there. You can go on her website, and she's got a list of psychics that she has that have gone through this testing and are legitimate psychics. So if you have, you know, if you want to communicate with your loved one, that's a place to go to look for a psychic that can do it.
I love that you said that. We're coming on break, Stephen, in about 2 minutes, and I want to go to that point, because thank you for that. Just such a great segue. Page 70, how you can contact a deceased loved one. It is Winbridge, WIND, like Winbridge, BRIDGE.org. And you can go right up at the top, right almost in the middle, it says research mediums. And there are probably only 8 to 10 of them, but they had to go through extensive and intensive 8-step screening process. I get asked a lot, Stephen, who do you recommend as a medium? Because I've had several very good, well, I shouldn't say several, I've had 2 or 3 very, very good readings by, well, very, very well-renowned or world-renowned mediums. But I hesitate to give anyone a recommendation, because the first thing that our analytical brains does is as soon as they get something, oh, Angie must have told them. Angie knows this person. And so I love that you mention in your book, and it's something you all who have asked me, who do I recommend, go somewhere and you can actually feel what it feels like. Go through the list of names and get that vibration or that energy. You'll feel it and give it a shot. Right, Stephen?
Absolutely. There's no harm done there.
No harm done there.
So, the Winbridge, go to the book and go to the website.
Yep. And it's very, very well thought out. It's got phone numbers. I think there's only one anonymous person on there, but they're from all over the country. And there aren't very many, which proves to me that they're good. I haven't even tried one of them. Mine was with James Von Prague, who is one of the world's leading evidence-based mediums in the world. And I lucked out on that one. But please go to that. And it is in the book. And we're heading on 1 minute. Stephen, tell my listeners how they can get a hold of you and take us into break.
Yeah, go to my website, shmartin.com. And by the way, on the home page there, the landing page that you will come to, it's my new book, Awaken the Winner Within, Lucky You. And you can click on that and you can download a free copy of the Kindle version. So that's a good reason to go there. And also you can look around and see what books I've written besides this one we've been talking about. And when you look at those books, I think if you click on the image of the cover, it'll take you to the page on Amazon where you can buy it.
Yes. And you guys, some of the other books, I'm just going to jump in here. Actual Magic, How to Unleash the Power of Your Mind. A Witch in the Family, The Salem Witch Trials Reexamined. Love that. The Invisible Source, Force, Esoteric but Essential Knowledge, From Jesus, the Mystics, and Unfettered Science, The Power of You, Self-Empowerment Made Easy, 7 Steps to Create the Future You Want, ESP, How I Developed My Sixth Sense, and How Can You. Can Christianity Make a Comeback? You bet, yes, and here's how. Here is Cellar Ghost, Romantic Suspense, The Mount Pelier, am I saying that right? Redemption, a thriller. Death in
Advertising.
Oh, this is wonderful. Stephen, you've written a ton, and you also have your own. We've got 30 seconds, which is good. That's a long time. We had other things to talk about, Kat.
Well, we can talk about someday. I'd love to talk about the witch in the family because one of my ancestors was one of the Salem witches.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I watched that out of morbid curiosity. Wasn't that back in the 90s?
The Salem witch. The
70s?
At the play, but they were actually were people in Massachusetts who were hanged as witches.
Okay. When we come back, you guys, Stephen and I will delve more into this. We'll talk a little bit more about reincarnation and go into birthmarks. So when we come back, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Stephen.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, to another episode of Beyond Proof with me, your host, Angie Corbett-Kuiper, and my beautiful, knowledgeable guest, Stephen Hawley Martin. And before break, we were going over some of the books that Stephen has written, and one that he is most excited about because a family member was a witch, but part of the Salem witch trials re-examined. Can we go off course a little bit, Stephen? Can you tell us a little bit about that, a witch in the family?
Well, yeah, I grew up knowing that, and it's discussions we often had about the witch in the family, which was my 7 times great-grandmother, Susanna North Martin. And she lived in Amesbury, Massachusetts, not too far from Salem, and was accused of witchcraft. And the reason she was accused was that, well, she was a widow. She was 72 years old at the time in 1692 when the trials took place. And yet she was very able to run the farm herself, chop the wood, do the things that needed to be done. And, of course, women weren't supposed to be able to do that, certainly not back in the 17th century. And so they figured that she must use witchcraft. And there were some other things, too. But she was accused, she was tried, and she was convicted and hanged. Past tense of hanging is hanged, not hung. That was one of the first things I learned about the witch trials. But it's a fascinating story, and the way I've written the book comes at it from the knowledge I have about consciousness and past lives and all of that sort of thing, so that it's a totally different take than you will get from somebody who is a materialist scientific materialist who thinks that the brain creates consciousness. So it's a way of looking at what happened during that time from a perspective that I think is actually the right perspective, the correct perspective, rather than this false thing that's come down to us from the 19th century about scientific materialism.
Love that. And this is a great segue into your relationship or the research that you've done, including Dr. Bruce Grayson, the Chester Carlson Professor of Psychiatry and Director of Division of Perceptual Studies at the University of Virginia, which brains do not actually create consciousness. Can you talk to a little bit about, because you do mention him quite a bit in your book, so he had a significant influence in your writing.
Absolutely, and a couple of people in that division of perceptual studies did, including Jim B. Tucker, who is also a psychiatrist. But the University of Virginia has been studying this topic since 1960, almost 50 years. And that's why they have so many cases of children who remember past lives, over 2,000 of them. And they have come to the conclusion after all this time, and they've finally gone public with it, that the brain does not create consciousness. And they give evidence in four different ways or categories. One is the recovery of consciousness just before the moments of death among people who have either have had dementia or Alzheimer's or some sort of brain damage or whatever. And what they theorize there is that the brain releases the consciousness when it's just about ready to die, and that the person on their deathbed will, after perhaps even months of being comatose, will wake up and have a conversation before they die. This happened, by the way, to my grandmother, and we never understood why. I never understood how it could possibly happen until I found out what the University of Virginia was saying. She had had bad case of dementia and did not really know anything until just hours before her death when she woke up and started talking. And then after she finished saying what she wanted to say, she passed away. The second thing is that they base this on is that there often is complex consciousness in people who have very little brain tissue. In one case they cite, there was a young woman who'd been accepted to Smith College, high SAT scores and so forth, who had a traffic accident, was knocked unconscious. And when they were going to operate on her to try to, you know, help her, they did an x-ray and it showed that she didn't have a cerebral cortex, that she only had a brain stem. And when they opened up her head, that was the case. And yet she had been a very intelligent young woman. Another case, and then there are cases of people that have,
hydrocephalus, like hydrocephalus water on the brain.
Yeah, where their brains are something like 95% incapacitated, and yet they have normal intelligence.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you say normal intelligence, is this more of a, like, an analytical, or is it more of a spiritual?
They just seem like normal human beings, and, you know, some of them actually above average. And of course, they're near-death experiences, and then the children that have memories of past lives. So, and I get into a lot of this in my book because, to me, the University of Virginia is definitely an authority, and yet scientists continue to deny, you know, keep thinking that this materialist science is correct and it's wrong. They'll never figure it out until they get out of that box.
Right. Yeah, and that's where, like, exactly like you said at the beginning of the program, consciousness is outside of the box, and we have to be willing to look at that. And
just,
it's
yeah, look at the, okay, you know, sorry. Look at plants and animals, you know, that have, like, sunflowers. I remember seeing a field of sunflowers in France, and, you know, every one of them is turning toward the sun and follows it all the way across the sky, as it, you know, that's a form of consciousness. Plants.
Yes. Yes. And I think you even mention in your book that look at a wolf who cuddles with his, you know, her little baby wolverine or whatever, but then in the split second can tear the throat out of a deer.
Yep.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. And I go back to when we can, it just was so peaceful to know in the two deaths that I have experienced. Because, okay, so let me, I'm going off on a tangent a little bit, so bear with me, Stephen. Do you believe that it takes being leveled to a point of just no return, where people start looking at things like this and questioning? Because I never thought of this. I thought my way was the right way. I thought I knew the truth, the way, the light, the path, until two suicides, one after the other, just leveled me where I was searching. I was turning the world upside down to look at anything. But do you think people can get to a point where we don't have to have that tragedy in order to become aware? I mean, not become aware, but live in a world of consciousness.
Well, I think that that can be the thing, the catalyst that does it. The problem is, and there have been several studies, I think I quote one of them in this book, that people tend to make up their minds based on their preconceived ideas or what they learned in school, whatever they, and then they look for evidence to support that or evidence to put down the other idea. And until we have an open mind, you know, we're not going to change.
Right. No. And isn't that interesting how some have just such amazing open minds and others are very, nope, this is what I believe. It goes, I can't look at that. It is not scientific, or it's not what I'm supposed to believe if I look at that. And that will go into a couple of weeks, in a couple of weeks as well. I'm looking so forward to that conversation. And this was what was interesting, what you said about Dr. Jim Tucker, going back to your chapter 6 and the 50 years of irrefutable research. His name is Jim B. Tucker, and he is not a wild-eyed Looney Tune. I had to get that in there because a lot of people listening to this program, I mean, I think people are starting to come out of this shell going, wow, I have a choice. And just to know that you too, Stephen, we've all were taught that this kind of thinking was off. Whether it was religious who said you don't believe in this, it's wrong. But your science, your material science parents also told you that it was wrong.
That's right. And Jim Tucker was raised as a Southern Baptist.
That's, yep. And that's what you said. And he also... is looking at the scientific approach as well. And let's see, what is he? He's also the university. What is going on at the University of Virginia? I know it was Ian Stevenson who started with the reincarnation back in, I think he was born 1918, died 2007. But what did, was he the first one that started the whole division of perceptual study, Stephen?
He was. What happened is, I think it was the founder of Xerox, or maybe I think it was the founder of Xerox, gave the University of Virginia a bunch of money to study this, phenomenon, and to study about consciousness and reincarnation and so forth. And that was way back in 1960, and they've been working on that ever since. And there's a huge amount of money that's behind it from this guy who apparently he was kind of a Buddhist, or that was his philosophy. So he wanted some real scientists to study it, and that's how they got started.
I love it. And you guys, I am so sorry. We went so past far our break. I could talk to you all day. Beautiful listeners, we will be right back for the final conclusion of visiting with Stephen Hawley Martin and everything after life. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer and co-host matchmaker Peggy Bennett share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit richerhealinghypnosis.com.
I have struggled with anxiety my entire adult life. My mind was constantly filled with feelings of dread and negative thoughts about myself. But then I completed Dr. Friedemann's Breakthrough Program and can't believe how much my life has changed in just a few months. Dr. Friedemann's methods are different from anything I've ever tried, and they make so much sense, and more importantly, they work. I can never thank Dr. Friedemann enough for his guidance and wisdom. Visit theempowermentsolution.com and find out how his Breakthrough Program can help you transform your life.
Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head-on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo. Live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, to the final segment of Beyond Proof, where I'm talking with Stephen Hawley Martin, and we are talking about his book, Life After Death, or After Life, The Whole Truth, Life After Death, Books 1 and 2. And today we focused on Book 1, which is The Evidence. And we were talking before break, we were talking about Bruce Grayson and Jim Tucker and all of these people who are looking into the scientific research that has gone into some of the proof that we're now uncovering about consciousness and where it fits into our life. And Stephen, I want to share something, and this is for my listeners. You guys, this is the first time that I am sharing this with anyone. I'm not sure quite where it fits in. But Stephen, before I found you, I had actually reached out, not knowing that Dr. Ian Stevenson died in 2007. And I was wanting to send him an email. And this is the reason why. And you guys, this is a little tough for me to share, but this makes you go, So about birthmarks, which Stephen and I are going to discuss. Okay. My own birthmark. My mom tried to scrub it off when I was little. And then I had mentioned that my husband, my second husband, Johannes, had a birthmark right on his trachea, his windpipe, Stephen. And I was looking at birthmarks before he even died. And the exit wounds are the entrance birthmarks of the next life that we come into. So this gets interesting. My paternal grandmother, I went into my second husband and I went into, my first husband and I went into a classroom for my son, my alive son, and all these kids had these family trees, and Zach's didn't have a whole lot in it. And I'm like, how sad is that I don't know that much about my family tree? So I came back and I thought, I'm going to go to Ancestry DNA and find out who my family is. And Stephen, are you sitting down?
I am. I'm up. Sit down.
You're only you. You'll get this. So I'm looking at my family tree, and all I know is that on my mom's side, I knew my grandmother and father. On my dad's side, I knew my grandmother and grandfather and great-grandfathers on both sides. So I enter those names in. My paternal grandmother's name, Loretta, her dad's name, Stephen, was Johannes Benedictus Verkottern. My paternal grandmother's mother's name was Petronella. And Petronella was my second husband before he took his life. That's his mother's name. His father's, my great-grandfather was Johannes. Johannes was my second husband's name. Then I look in 1940, Stephen, he was 67 years old. He died in a Green Bay hospital at about 9:15 of an injury sustained late in the afternoon while he was using a saw in the mill. While he was ripping a board, a piece flew off and struck the windpipe, causing a rupture that was revealed in the autopsy. He had a birthmark right on his, and I had to go and look at pictures, Stephen. So we have got 2 minutes, and I'm sorry I had to share that, but that is so amazing to me. Talk to us about birthmarks for the next couple of minutes.
Well, one of the things that Ian Stevenson found, and he wrote two books about it, and one of the books has 225 cases. I think the other one's a shorter book with 112 that contain where he found that the birthmarks in the child that was remembering a past life coincided with the wound that killed his previous existence, killed his life in his previous existence. Like you said, in one case, it was a spot on the forehead and on the back of the head, you could see the pattern of an exit wound. There's even one case in those studies where the person was run over by a railroad train and severed the leg below the knee, I believe. And that person was born without a leg below the knee. So, I mean, as I said, 225.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do, you guys. We only have 1 minute because Stephen and I were bad and we went over the last time. And Kat, my producer, was not very happy with us, although she's always happy. Stephen, if you would like, how about the next show in 2 weeks? Why don't we pick up the exit wound? Why don't we start at birthmarks? And let's do the segment and finish it correctly. Let's finish birthmarks before we go into your second part of your book, Heaven, Hell, and You. Would that be okay with you?
Sounds good. Love to do it.
Excellent. We have 1 minute. Take us out. Tell us where people can find you, whatever you want. This is your time. And thank you so much.
Yes. Again, this is Stephen Hawley Martin, and my website is shmartin.com, shmartin.com. On my homepage, you'll be able to click the image of my new book, and it'll take you right to the page on Amazon where you can download the Kindle edition for absolutely free. And also, I'm a ghostwriter, so if anybody needs a book written, if you want to become an expert in your field, I can help you become the person who wrote the book on it. So that's really what I have to say.
Yay, thank you. And that is shmartin.com. And he says it twice. That's www.shmartin.com. You can find him as well. Stephen, thank you for a wonderful, wonderful program. I am honored. I am humbled. And most importantly, enlightened. And thank you for sharing your genius with my audience today.
Thank you, Angie. I've enjoyed it too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, Redefining Death and Loss. Tune in every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and a willingness to keep an open mind about everything that anything is possible. Tune in every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and a willingness to keep an open mind about everything that anything is possible, even in death. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit BeyondProof.com.